Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quimery. Thank you for tuning in today. A German Shepherd who was on the lam for nearly 3 months has been captured and returned to her family. Juneau Animal Rescue announced that animal control officers and a volunteer helped capture Jackie last week. A statement from JAR reads that finding Jackie was, quote, truly a community effort. Jackie slipped her leash in February, and she stole the hearts of Juneau residents who posted photos and videos of her caught on doorbell cameras around town. Juneau Animal Control officers have been tracking these sightings and setting large, pain-free traps for Jackie ever since, sometimes with cheeseburgers zip-tied to the back. And now that she's back home with her adoptive family, JAR says its work here is done, and it plans to respect the family's privacy. And the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation says 400,000 gallons of processed water spilled at a large lead and zinc mine in northern Alaska yesterday. According to the department, the spill occurred at about 2:30 a.m. at the Red Dog Mine, located around 80 miles north of Kotzebue. According to the public information officer for the department, an estimated 100 to 1,000 gallons spilled from a gravel containment area onto the tundra and into Red Dog Creek, which flows into Iqaluk Rock Creek. That creek flows into the larger Willuk River and the Arctic Ocean. The watershed is a spawning ground for chum salmon. The communities of Notok and Kivalina are closest to the mine. The company says they did not anticipate impacts to human health or aquatic systems from the, quote, small volume of treated process water. The owner and operator of the mine, Tech Alaska, has not yet responded to questions about the cause of the spill or what contaminants the process water might contain. And the company says cleanup work is underway. The Alaska Department of Education and Early Development is considering whether to reduce the amount of money local governments can give to school districts. But as KTOO's Jamie Deep reports, a new bill in front of state lawmakers would allow local governments to continue to fund school districts as they have been.
The money local governments spend on their school districts falls in an interesting spot in the maelstrom of Alaska education funding. Under state law, municipalities are limited in how much money they can give school districts annually. It's called a local contribution. In Juneau, the local contribution makes up close to half of the school district's operating budget. Municipalities can also fund specific non-instructional services outside of the operating budget, and that doesn't count towards the limit or cap.
We're talking about things like extracurricular sports and activities, community schools programs, after-school programs, student nutrition, student transportation, and pre-K and early education programs.
That's Juneau School District Superintendent Frank Hauser at a recent House Education Committee meeting. He says districts like his stand to lose millions of dollars in local funding if a proposed regulation change from the Department of Education and Early Development, or DEED, goes through. It would further limit the money local governments can give to school districts. Representative Andy Story, a Juneau Democrat, introduced a bill that would allow local funding for those non-instructional services to continue as it has, outside of the local contribution limit. A letter from DEED says the state needs to crack down on local spending because it doesn't want to lose access to millions of federal dollars called federal impact aid. The state gets to put that money towards its obligation to schools. The money counts towards its contribution as long as the state can prove that it's funding education equitably between districts. State officials are worried that the federal government may start looking more closely at the local money that goes beyond the limit when it's deciding if things are equitable. The federal government hasn't done that yet, but the state's gone after the Juneau School District over local contributions in the past. DEED Commissioner Dina Bishop says her agency is trying to make the change before anything happens.
The initiative to pursue regulatory clarification is solely on DEED, driven by our obligation to ensure compliance with federal law and Alaska law, which includes impact aid as a critical component of the state's school funding framework.
Alaska receives the federal aid to make up for money lost from land that can't be taxed, like Alaska Native-owned land or military land. That's the money the state can use toward funding districts if it's fair by federal standards. There's more than $80 million at stake this year. The bill that Representative Story proposed would make it state law that local funding for the services don't count when the state calculates local contributions to school districts. Time is running out for the bill to become law this year, but lawmakers could take it up again next year. But Story says districts have a lot to lose if DEED approves a regulation change between sessions.
My hope with this bill is, again, drawing awareness to the issues, trying to make sure we have clear definitions, obviously hoping it moves along the process, and I think it will be very much a loss to services and educational opportunities to children across the state if the regulation goes into effect.
Juneau Superintendent Hauser said in an April interview with KTOO that school districts will have difficult decisions to make if DEED's regulation change goes through.
Are we going to provide extracurricular activities, or are we going to have another two or three teachers in the classroom, or reduce the class sizes? So those are the decisions that boards have to make, how to make up for those funds that really are for non-instructional purposes.
An administrative order from Governor Mike Dunleavy froze any new state regulations coming forward. But Bishop says the department will request for an exemption with an aim to put the regulation up for public comment at the July State Board of Education meeting. If approved, it would go into effect next summer. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And Juneau's city-owned ski area expects to run a deficit for the foreseeable future. That's because officials plan to repair some broken and aging infrastructure, boost pay to employees, and prepare to operate year-round. But their plan to dig out of the deficit relies heavily on revenue from a gondola that has yet to be built. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
Deferred repairs and maintenance for Eagle Crest's aging infrastructure have built up over decades of use. At a Juneau Assembly Finance Committee meeting on Wednesday, Eagle Crest Board President Mike Satry says it's reaching a tipping point.
We have to do something different, or we will essentially be shutting down the operation as infrastructure fails or is beyond its useful life.
That something different is a gondola that the city bought for about $2 million 3 years ago. It's still sitting on the ground, and it's unclear how much it will cost to get it going. But the plan is that once it's up and running, it will allow the ski area to operate year-round and eventually make enough money for it to be self-sustaining. Now, that's likely still a few years out. And in the interim, the ski area says some repairs need to happen to other infrastructure. According to its general manager, Craig Simmons, those come with a cost.
None of those numbers are small.
Eagle Crest officials also want to increase staffing levels and pay as they transition to operate year-round. All that to say, they're going to be spending more than they're making until the gondola is open. At the finance meeting, the Juneau Assembly moved forward with a plan that would allow the city-owned ski area to run a deficit, but it set aside about $3 million in the city's restricted budget reserve in case Eagle Crest can't dig itself out. That safety net is required by city code. Here's how the city's finance director, Angie Flick, explains it.
If Eagle Crest were to have their full budget run through next fiscal year and then Douglas fell off into the ocean and didn't exist and there was no way that they could recover that, then that hole would need to be filled. So that reserve is there in case that hole needs to be filled in the future.
This isn't the first time that Eagle Crest has run a deficit. Between 2003 and 2012, it operated with a negative fund balance. That's because its board gave refunds and season pass credits to make up for a low snow year. At the meeting, Assemblymember Alicia Huskandes voted in favor of the plan. But she says she's still skeptical about how much it will cost to get the gondola off the ground.
I would bet a lot of money that we can't build the gondola without infusing a significant amount of money in it. And that's just outside of Eagle Crest control. It really just has to do with the cost of building anything.
A local Alaska Native corporation, Goldbelt Incorporated, offered to invest $10 million in the gondola in 2022 in exchange for a revenue-sharing agreement. Satry says that funding has helped pay for most of the expenses so far. But with the Trump administration's new tariffs kicking in, costs could go up.
I would hesitate to even guess at what the variance is going to be, but I would expect it to exceed the $10 million that we have, and then we'll have to make some decisions.
Assemblymember Wade Bryson was the only member to vote against the plan to reserve money for Eagle Crest. He argues that Eagle Crest has had financial issues for years. Since at least 2000, Eagle Crest has required support from the city's general fund for its operations.
When do we stop? How high does their ask have to be before we say the community cannot afford this?
He recently asked city officials to find out what it would take to privatize the ski area.
I fully believe that Eagle Crest is the gem of the community that does need a new chapter written for it. I don't believe that there's enough money in the CBJ government to do that.
The assembly still needs to finalize the city's budget, and the plan is still subject to change. Members are expected to vote to finalize it in mid-June. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And lawmakers rejected two of Governor Mike Dunleavy's nominees for state boards and commissions in a joint session of the State House and Senate yesterday. One of Dunleavy's nominees for the state medical board, physician assistant Sam Smith, was rejected in a remarkable unanimous vote. Several lawmakers said they'd never seen a nominee rejected on a 0-60 vote. Representative Genevieve Mina, an Anchorage Democrat who chairs the House Health and Social Services Committee, says lawmakers across the political spectrum were not impressed during Smith's confirmation hearings earlier this year.
I think as a body, we all collectively agreed that we want someone who knows the state's issues, and even if they don't have the breadth of experience, show a willingness to learn. And unfortunately, that open-mindedness was not reflected in the hearings of her appointment in the Senate and in the House.
Smith said by text message she was unavailable to discuss the rejection by deadline yesterday afternoon, saying she was busy working with patients. At a confirmation hearing this spring, Smith said the state's medical care is, quote, subpar, which led her to apply to be on the board.
Seeing the malpractice that occurs and seeing the misjustice of patients and then simply not knowing what their medical rights are, I couldn't sit by in the wings anymore and just kind of treat quietly.
Dunleavy appointed Smith in early March. His office did not respond to a request for comment. The board of the Alaska Academy of Physicians Assistants, a professional organization for PAs, unanimously urged state lawmakers to reject Smith's nomination. The group said she didn't have the proper experience in rural Alaska and that it was concerned about her discretion and professional judgment. Lawmakers also rejected the appointment of Correspondent School Program Manager Kelly Berge to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. That vote was much closer, 26-33. Opponents said state law requires commissioners to be selected from a list submitted by a professional organization and that Berge was not on that list. The legislature confirmed dozens of other Dunleavy appointments and unanimously confirmed a new ombudsman, Jacob Carbaugh. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 49 degrees and raining this afternoon. It looks like more rain is on the way tonight and tomorrow, with temperatures between the mid-40s and low 50s. Saturday, it looks like it'll dry up a little bit over the day, and Sunday could be dry, with temperatures as high as 52 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.